First Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we'll begin reading in verse number 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them of the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I love verse 18. Wherefore, based on all of that I just mentioned, Paul said, comfort one another with these words. And I don't know if anything tonight ought to comfort us any more than know that one day our Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to come back again. April the 19th, 1775, there's a little village called Concord, Massachusetts. In that little village was some soldiers called Redcoats. They were sent over here from the King of England to stop the revolution. Also in that city was some farmers and businessmen and merchantmen called colonists that were there with their arms to rise up and carve out this nation that you and I have had the privilege to live in all these many years. Those forces met that day at a little bridge called Concord Bridge. Now, they have argued this down through history. Who fired the first shot? Some say the Redcoats fired the first shot. Some say the colonists fired the first shot. I ain't trying to be smart, but I know who fired the last one, praise God. But all through history, they've argued about who fired the first shot. And whoever it was that day that fired that shot, it has gone down in the pages of our history as the shot that was heard around the world. They said it's the only shot that was shot from the banks of a little creek at Concord Village that reverberated across the Atlantic Ocean in the halls of Parliament. A shot that was heard around the world. Well, I don't know all about that, but I do know something about our text. One day there's not going to be a shot, but praise God, it's going to be a shout. And I promise you tonight, it will be a shout that will be heard around the world. If more people would get their eyes off of the signs and tune their heart towards the shout, I believe all of us tonight would be better Christians. I believe tonight the very next thing on God's prophetic time clock is that shout that will be heard around the world. Look in your Bible tonight, and there are three things in this text that's going to take place when we hear this shout. Number one tonight, when the shout takes place, we'll find the return of the Savior. Look what it says tonight in verse number 16. It says, the Lord Himself. Now, you know what I like about that phrase? That lets me know who's coming. The Lord Himself. Can I remind you that an imposter's not going to come? An antichrist is not going to come at that shout. Not a fake Jesus, not a phony. You know something about our temple Jesus, not a frivolous Jesus, nor a fairy tale Jesus, but the Lord Himself. I'm glad when God gets ready for His church, He will trust that trip to no one but His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When God wanted to save the world from the flood, He sent Noah. When God wanted to raise a righteous nation out of the heathen nations, He sent Abraham. When God needed a prophet to stand against the tide of wickedness, He sent Elijah. When God needed a man to prepare the way for the first advent of Christ, He sent John the Baptist. When God needed an apostle to the Jew, He sent Peter. And when He needed an apostle to the Gentile, He sent Brother Paul. But I can report to you tonight that when He gets ready for His bride, when He gets ready for His church, He will not send Noah. He will not send Abraham. He will not send Elijah. He will not send John the Baptist, Peter, James, or Paul, but the Lord Himself. I love the words of Acts chapter 1 in verse number 11. When Jesus was ascending into heaven, the Bible said those two men in white apparel looked down and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus." Not another Jesus, not a fake Jesus, not a false Jesus, phony Jesus, frivolous Jesus, feeble Jesus, fairy tale Jesus, but this same Jesus. The one that was coexisting with the Father before the foundation of the world. The one that was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin. The one that was baptized in Jordan. The one that the dove rested upon, and a voice came from the third cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased." The one that healed the sick and cleansed the leper and raised the dead. The one that drank the cup in Gethsemane and bore the cross to Calvary. And the one that arose again the third day. And the one that ascended on high. This same Jesus. Man, may I remind you tonight, He's not only the sovereign Jesus and the saving Jesus and the supernatural Jesus and the special Jesus, but He is the same Jesus. For the Bible said the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon His name. For the Bible said that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said that God had made the same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And the same Jesus, Acts 1:11 said, that is taken from you shall so come in like manner. Now you know what like manner means? That means He's coming back just like He went back. He went back in a body and He's coming back in a body. He went away with a shout and He's coming back with a shout. He went away on a cloud and He's coming back in a cloud. He had somebody with Him when He went, and they have a whole bunch with Him when He comes. They heard Him when He went, and they'll hear Him when He comes. And may I say, praise God, it'll be different the next time, because the first time He came, He was despised and rejected of men, and we esteemed Him not. But praise God, when He comes this time, they'll crown Him King of every king and Lord of every Lord. Lord and potentate of every potentate. Can I remind you tonight, the King is coming. One of these days it will be fulfilled. Psalm 24. Lift up ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming with the shout and the voice and the trump of God? The trumpet is about to sound. Man, I found this out in the Old Testament. The trumpet was used for three purposes. Number one, to call the people to worship. Number two, to call the people to warfare. And number three, to call the people to a wedding. Praise God, one day we're going to have the greatest worship service we have ever known, and everybody's going to get in on it. Heaven and earth and hell, they will bow their knee and they will lift their voice and they will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one day war's going to break out. He's coming back in vengeance on those who know not God and who believe not the gospel. But praise God, there's going to be a wedding in the sky, in the chapel of the King. I'm glad when he comes and the trumpet sounds, we'll leave it out of here with a shout that will be heard around the world. When you travel a lot and go to church every day, you have to do something to laugh a little bit. I have several hobbies I like to do. I love one of them. I love to watch people lead singing. I love the way the different people lead the singing. I was in a church not long ago, and I've never seen it like this before. The man just held his hand up and done like that the whole time. Looked like he was milking a cow. I didn't know what he was. I got a little nervous at a church a while back. They had a little skinny fella lead it. He led it like this. Now, that really bothered me. I was in a meeting one time, and there's some boys leading, singing. And I mean, it was a big old congregation there, and they were doing that great hymn, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Man, I don't know the rudiments and the elements of music, the cliff flows and the pauses, and I don't know all about that. Man, he was a leading that singing, and man, he's a building it high. And they were bringing that last line to a climatic point. Man, he was building it, he stood like this with the tips of his fingers. And when the roll is called up yonder. Now, I guess that means y'all hush. But then he did the strangest thing. He went, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be," and he went just like this, "I'll be there." I said, wait a minute. That may be where you'll be, but that ain't where I'm going to be. When the roll is called up yonder, I'm not going to be there, I'm going to be there. Praise God, the return of the Savior. Number two, look at the last part of verse number 16. When the shout takes place that will be heard around the world, I see the resurrection of the sleeping. For it says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." When that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes with a shout of command and the voice of the archangel, the first thing that's going to happen, those that have died with their faith in Jesus Christ will be resurrected from the sleepy grave. The resurrection. You know, the Bible answers its own question. In the Old Testament, in the midst of Job's affliction, he cried, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And one day while Jesus was walking the shores of the Galilee, he answered that question Oh, he sure did. He answered that question. He said, because I live, ye too shall live also. Did you know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ's resurrection from the dead guarantees our resurrection from the dead? You know, the Bible said that Jesus Christ was when he arose for the third day. It says he was the first fruit of them that slept. That little first fruit, I thought, where have I seen that? And then I went back under the old Levitical law. And when the master of the field on the first day of the harvest, he would go out into the field and he would pick a handful. That is equivalent of a sheaf. And he would bring his first sheaf, his first handful, and he would bring it back. And the Bible said he would use it as a wave offering before the Lord. And he was saying, Lord, you blessed us. You've been good. Here's a sample. But there's more where this comes from. When Jesus walked out of that grave, he was God's wave offering and God's first fruit. And he was saying, God, you've been good and I'm alive, but there's more where I came from. First fruit, handful, sheaf. Boy, I thought, where have I heard handful before? And boy, my mind went back down to Bethlehem, Judea. Well, that little Moabite girl by the name of Ruth lost everything she had in her first lover and got it all back and more when she met her kinsman redeemer. And one day Boaz says to his servants, you give her a handful on purpose, which is the equivalent of a sheaf, which is the wave offering and the first fruit. So now I see Ruth, who was busted and bankrupt, now she's got a wave offering. Now she's got a first fruit. Now she's got a sheaf. And she's out there with the rest of them Jews praising God because she met a Redeemer. Praise God. When I get up out of that grave, I'll be celebrating in heaven because I met my heavenly Boaz, my kinsman Redeemer. Sheaf. Sheaf. Handful. First fruit. Sheaf. I thought sheaf. Now, where have I heard that? Where have I... then it hit me. That great soul-winning text. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in his wave offerings, bringing in his handfuls of purpose, bringing in his sheaves. And praise God when Jesus stomps through the gate because he wept at Calvary and he sowed the seed. He'll bombard heaven. Whoop! Bringing in his sheaves and bundled up in that bunch of sheaves is a bunch of old sinners like you and like me, because Christ got up from that grave. There'll be a resurrection when Jesus comes. The dead in Christ, they're coming out of that grave. Hallelujah, that's hope. Beyond the grave. Your pastor's been there before. Greenville, South Carolina. There's a road that goes through the entire length of the metropolitan area. It's Highway 29, but it's better known as Wade Hampton Boulevard. On Wade Hampton Boulevard, you'll find Bob Jones University. Across the street, up there to the right a little bit, you'll find the largest cemetery in the city of Greenville. You pull into that cemetery, if you know what you're looking for, you can find the graves of the following men. As you go through the main gate, there's a big willow tree, and under that is buried J. Harold Smith. You go to the main avenue before you get to the mausoleum, and on the right, there lays Dr. Harold B. Seitler. Inside of that mausoleum, you'll find the remains of Oliver B. Green. And then on the back side of that graveyard, in a double wide grave, you'll find the remains of William Churchill Billy Kelly. You say, why is he in a double wide grave? Because he couldn't fit in a single wide grave. Brother Brad, I don't know if I ever told you this or not. I remember the day Billy called me. He said, Joe, guess what? I made my last payment on that mausoleum. They ain't going to throw my carcass in no hole in the ground. I won't be a buried Oliver Green. He was so proud of that. Boy, Miss Kelly said they went to the funeral to make plans and said the undertaker came in. That, by the way, you do know what a hypocrite is, don't you? It's an undertaker trying to look sad at a $25,000 funeral. And you got it, didn't you, girl? And that funeral director came in there and he said, Miss Kelly, I don't know how to tell you this, but Mr. Kelly ain't going to fit in that mausoleum. So they traded her two graves for one. And I know I can see Billy now. Doggone it. They asked Danny. I asked his boy Danny. I said, Danny, what do you think about that? He said, that's nothing different. He couldn't fit in the booze at McDonald's either. And I asked Brother Billy one time. I said, Brother Billy, church fool. I've never heard anybody by that name. Why did your mama name you church fool? He said, because Joe, when I got to church, they got a church fool. And he's over there in that grave, across from Brother Sight, between him and Brother Billy, you'll find the grave of a man named Street Burns. He wasn't a preacher, but he is the father of all those people that sang at the camp meeting through the years, known as the Burns Trio. Old Pappy Burns was a shouter. Man, the service would get to moving real good. He'd walk around and some people shout and when they praise the Lord and some people run they praise the Lord. Pappy would always get one little folding chairs and put it on top of his head and walk around. Now I don't know what he meant by that. But I'll tell you one thing. I've seen him shout to victory with that when he had one of them chairs on his head. And I got to thinking, Pastor Fleur, can you imagine standing on that piece of real estate when Jesus comes and them saints come out of that ground? I got a wild imagination. Let me share it with you. The ground breaks. And here comes J. Harold Smith. Hey, neighbor, I'm glad I didn't step over God's three deadlines. Here comes Sightler. Hey, Mephibosheth, bring your chariot over here. Let's ride together to see the king. All of the green come busting out of there going, I told you it was by the grace of God. And here comes Billy singing, I'll not be a stranger. And I'll meet you in the morning. And here comes Pappy with the casket on top of his head, walking down the cemetery going, hallelujah, young'uns, singing another time. Oh, what a day. There's going to be singing and shouting joy for the saints on the morning of the Jubilee. Just put on a crown that's given and walk around all over God's heaven. Oh, what a day. That wonderful day. Will. Hey, you say, preacher, you're dreaming. No, it's going to be a reality. When Jesus comes and the shout takes place, there will be the resurrection of the sleeping. The dead in Christ are kind of going to get up out of that grave. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The return of the saved, the resurrection of the sleeping, and then I'm done, number three. Look in verse number 17. When the shout takes place that will be heard around the world, we'll find the rapture of the saved. For it says in verse 17, then we... Now, you know what that one word tells me? There's going to be some saved people on this earth when Jesus comes. Can I run a rabbit? Don't believe the fake news. They'll have you thinking nobody's a Christian, nobody's sane, nobody believes the Bible, and everybody's a crackpot. Yeah. You know what amazes me? The very people that thinks our president has lost his mind, they don't know the difference between a man and a woman. I thought I'd just throw that in. That's the pot calling the kettle black. Can I get a witness? There's going to be some saved people on this earth when Jesus comes, because Paul said, we which are alive and remain shall be called up. Called up. Called up. To meet the Lord in the air. You say, what does that mean, called up? Well, I hate to break my education out on you, but I believe you can handle it. It's the Greek word, harpazo. And it means to be seized and snatched away by sudden force. The Greek word, harpazo, comes from the Latin word, harpoon. You know what a harpoon was? That gun that shot that spear in the side of that whale and on the back side of that spear. Boy, that would give the animal lovers a thrill. And man dragged that whale to the sea because he's been seized and harpooned. That same Greek word is translated in John chapter number 10 as the word pluck. Jesus said no man can harpazo. No man can siege and snatch them and pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm glad when Jesus comes, the same of God that are alive, we're going to be seized, snatched away by sudden force. We're going to get harpooned, harpazo, called up, snatched out of here. Aren't you glad, brother, when Jesus comes, we're leaving out? This fellow said to me one time, and he's of another persuasion, I feel sorry for him, man. He don't believe in the rapture. He doesn't believe in the millennial reign. I asked him, I said, you don't believe in that? He said, oh, Brother Joe, there's no way. He said, my Lord, boy, reign 1,000 years? He said, it only rained 40 days and 40 nights with Noah. And he said, if it rains 1,000 years under God, we're going to have the awfulest flood this world's ever seen. Now, that is funny, but he really believes that. I said, well, I can tell you this, big boy. If you're saved, you got to go whether you want to or not. Can you imagine going to heaven under protest? Rapture takes place. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You're going if you're saved. And I asked him, I said, why don't you believe? He said, because the word rapture, Joe, is not even in the Bible. Well, Wednesday night prayer meeting ain't either, but I go. Gambling ain't either, but I don't buy lottery tickets. Trinity is not either, but I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I said, you may not find that word rapture, but what you going to do with called up? One day a friend of mine called me and he was on cloud 9. He said, Joe, he said, I'm at this library and I'm looking at an old English dictionary that's nearly 300 to 400 years old. And he said, I'm looking at a word called raptua. And I said, okay. He said, raptua. He said, that's the modern word, rapture. He said, 400 years ago, our forefathers didn't say rapture. They said raptua. And he said, you'll never believe what the meaning of the word raptua is. I said, what? He said, it means transported with delight. That is a good word. Because some golden daybreak, this blood-washed crowd is going to get harpazo, harpoon, raptured, raptured, called up, leaving gone, transported with delight. This robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, farewell. We're leaving out of here. Raptured. Let me give this illustration. I'm having a good time tonight. And then think about this. After we do this, we get to go eat again. Ain't God good? I remember one time in science, we were doing a derivative course called the Laws of Magnetic Field. And our teacher gave an object lesson that day to describe to us the laws of magnetic field. They took a pile of toothpicks and put them here. Then they took a pile of straight pins and put them there. The teacher got a big magnet, and held it over top of those straight pins. And you know what happened? Every one of those straight pins got caught up to meet the magnet. The teacher took that same magnet and held it over top of the toothpicks, and it was like a Baptist church on Sunday morning. They didn't even wiggle. Didn't even wiggle. I preached at a church so dead the other day, I prayed for somebody to get up and go to the bathroom, because any kind of move was better than no move at all. Nothing. I mean, the toothpicks didn't even wiggle. Well, the teacher goes on to explain in scientific terminology the laws of magnetic field. Well, I'm 55 years old, and that's been a long time since I heard her. Not only that, I'm not really that scientific. And I'm looking at you, and I don't think you are either, really. So I'm going to give you and a Georgia redneck country boy definition of the laws of magnetic field. And looking at you, you're going to enjoy that more than scientific. Are you ready? Can you handle it? As Doug Fisher would say, are we okay here? Here it is. Well, this is deep. Hope y'all get it. You homeschoolers, hope you get this. There is something another in that magnet that gets hooked up with something another in them our pins. And whatever is in the pins ain't in the toothpicks. Anybody impressed with my definition of the laws of magnetic field? Now for my application. When Jesus comes, something in Him is going to hook up with something in me. And that something is a somebody. And that somebody is a someone. And that someone is the sweet Holy Spirit. I'm glad when Jesus comes, those that are alive and they're saved, they will be called up, raptured, transported with delight. And I love this. And we will meet the Lord in the air. While I was digging through this, I said, I might as well look up that word too. And that little word meet in that passage means this, a face-to-face encounter. Well, I thought, hallelujah. I'm glad one day we'll have a face to face encounter. And I'm glad we shall meet the Lord in the air. Aren't you glad that is our hope? But it's not only our hope, it is our comfort. And it is not only our hope and our comfort, but it is our motive to live right and tell the whole world about the goodness of God. Because what a day, glorious day, that'll be. Just a few days ago, I think one day last week, Jim Hill, the man that wrote, "What a Day That'll Be," passed away. Man, we've been blessed down through the years to sing Jim Hill's song, "There's Coming a Day When Jesus Comes." And what a day that will be. I believe if old Jim Hill tonight could speak from the realms of glory, he'd say, "Children, it's as good as I said it was, and a whole lot more." I want you to turn to somebody and say, "I get to go." I get to go. Turn back and say, "And you can go too if you want to." And turn back and say, "If you don't go, it ain't my fault." Turn back and say, "It ain't the Lord's fault. Because He made it possible for all of us to go." Are you listening for that shout that will be heard around the world? Why don't we stand and sing that song, preacher? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be." Thank you for letting me come, preacher. You know Talbot Moore, the old man of God from Atlanta. You'll love this, Brother Brian. One day a lady said to Brother Talbot in a sarcastic way, she said, "You believe people really sing and shout in heaven?" He said, "I don't know, ma'am. I've never been there yet. But I know this, a lot of them left here doing it. And I just believe there's going to be some singing and shouting in heaven." What a day that's going to be. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, preacher.
Tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, we say it in passing sometimes and it kind of becomes old hat. Talk about heaven fixing everything, but it really will.
It really will be.